We've spoken quite a lot on the Business Breakfast about Saudi Arabia's transformation plan, Vision 2030, and we're going to look now at the manpower, or the woman power, that it will require. Metin Mitchell's a headhunter and managing partner at Metin Mitchell & Company. He's been interviewing Saudi CEOs about the skills that are needed to make the kingdom's economic reforms a success, and he joins us now. Metin, it's lovely to see you again. You've been speaking to decision makers in the kingdom. Where do they see the skills gap when they look at the ambitious transformation plans that are being laid out?
The skills gap is really about management. There are plenty of talented, ambitious men and women who have lots of dreams for their country and for their businesses, but where they lack sometimes is in the simple experience, the simple knowledge how to manage a business, particularly when times are so tough as they are right now.
So when you look at what the government is asking for, when it lays out its privatisation plans, when it lays out the areas of interest for where the kingdom is going, what kind of jobs, what kind of job descriptions do you see appearing?
Finance people, business development, marketing people, CEOs. And all of this is coming about because expatriates are being replaced. And then this is having a big knock-on effect, which is salaries are going up because they're really good. Talent costs a lot of money, and they're commanding 30 or 50% premiums, and it's killing businesses, and they have to do it. They have to recruit the Saudis.
So this is my question. Under the transformation plan, are those roles being earmarked for Saudi nationals, and what does that mean for the labour force?
So absolutely, the roles are being earmarked for Saudi nationals, which is the right thing. What it means is that salaries are going up 30-50%, and the best way that we see of dealing with it is with women. So I think the big opportunity for Saudi Arabia is actually to bring more women into the workplace.
Rania Nasher was named chief executive of Samba Financial Group, becoming the first female CEO of a listed Saudi commercial bank. Not quite the first CEO of a bank, because Sarah Al-Sahimi, she was the took over the Saudi investment bank when she became the CEO of NCB Capital back in 2014. So it is happening. Is this a direct result of the Nitticat system?
What it's about is just talent and the cost of talent. So men, I think, in Saudi Arabia are overpricing themselves. Women are showing they can do a great job and actually are much more cost-effective. Look at companies like, for example, Bupa Saudi Arabia. Their big stars are women, and they're recruiting more and more women because they know it's just better for their business.
I mean, Saudi Arabia wants to have about 30% of a workforce as being women over the next few years. I mean, do you think that's achievable, considering that there's only a limited amount of fields they can work in?
I think the number of fields that they can work in is going to change, it's going to expand. I think the 30% is absolutely doable because they want it. I mean, they work really hard, they're really ambitious, and they're doing a really good job.
Let's look at the two gaps that you've mentioned there, Metin. Firstly, the skills gap. If these roles are going to be filled by Saudi nationals, and yet you say the experience particularly isn't there, what's going to need to happen?
Mistakes. There are going to be mistakes. People are going to crash and burn. They're going to learn. They're going to grow. It's not going to be easy. There's no easy way to achieve this. So what we're seeing are a whole generation of new people coming in. And I think where they don't have experience, what they're making up for is with their energy and their ambition.
What about the second gap, which could be financial? We're hearing about a lot of austerity drives. We're hearing about salary cuts in parts of the public sector. How does that translate to what you were saying earlier, a 30 to 50% pay rise for some of these roles?
It doesn't make sense, right? So what we're seeing are big salary increases for the top talent. The businesses are struggling to pay these. And so I think this is going to be a wake-up call. I think it's not sustainable. I think pretty soon reality will come in and people will say, actually, a woman can do the job better and will be more effective.
What's the knock-on effect for the rest of the Gulf? Is there a chance that some of these roles, and the transformation plan is going to create a lot of them, could attract Saudis back into the kingdom who are working elsewhere, maybe in the Gulf, or could attract other GCC nationals?
I think the knock-on effect for the rest of the Gulf will be slightly different to what you're saying. I think what it will be is that we'll see a surplus of expatriates in the marketplace. So expatriates are going to be losing their jobs in Saudi Arabia. They'll be looking for other jobs, particularly in the UAE, which is a prime location. And I think that's where we'll see perhaps downward pressure on expatriate salaries.
But that only works if everything works. And I mean, you and I were discussing just before we came on air that I interviewed you maybe 12 years ago. And we've both been here a long time. We've heard a lot of talk around the Gulf about Saudiization, nationalization, what needs to happen to get people groomed for these jobs. We're still talking about it now. What's to say that we won't still be talking about it in 2030?
I hate to say this, but this time really is different. In Saudi Arabia, the pressure to hire Saudi nationals is acute. I've been dealing with Saudi Arabia, I think, now for over 25 years, and I've never seen the pressure to hire Saudi nationals as acute as it is today. There is a real will to do it, and it's almost like there are directives going on. Is you have to hire a Saudi national. This is not about just Nitticat. This is about making sure that Saudis are running their own businesses. I think where there are issues is there are a lot of management consultants being used who are being brought in to fill the gaps. And I think this is perhaps a dangerous trend that I'm seeing.
So what's the labour market in Saudi Arabia going to look like in the short term as these transformations start to occur, the next 2 to 5 years?
It's going to be frothy. There are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be, I think, just big opportunities for women. I think this is the time for women in Saudi Arabia. This is not any feminist agenda. This is just common sense, reality. Women are going to come in to the workforce, and there's going to be some really good things happening.
Do you think, before that happens, that the law on women driving needs to change to give them mobility?
This issue about women driving has been discussed for as long as I can remember. It may happen. For me, what's always strange when I'm in Saudi Arabia is you talk to women about it. Actually, it's not always their primary consideration. It's not necessarily the thing that really is the most important for them. What's really important for them is to be recognized for their capabilities as professionals. That's the really important thing.
But in terms of actually getting into the workforce and going to work at unusual times and further afield, not all of them can afford drivers all the time and are restricted. Do you think that needs to change?
I think it will change. It'll change at the time that is right for Saudi Arabia. It's very hard to put on our own kind of timescales and our own aspirations as Westerners into Saudi Arabia.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Unfortunately, it is 7:30. It's time to go to the news. Metin Mitchell is a headhunter and managing partner at the employment firm Metin Mitchell & Company. Thanks for your time.